Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is your host, Shelley Antine, speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, October 25th, and ending on Sunday, the 31st of October, which many of us know as Halloween, last day of October. Okay, so we're going to talk about that particular time period. And also the fact that Mars is going to leave the sign of Libra and enter Scorpio on Saturday the 30th, which is going to come in at 10:21 a.m. in the Eastern. It's still, I believe, daylight time. So when we are looking at Mars moving into Scorpio, at the end of the week, we are leaving the air realm where Mars has been, you know, causing a lot of difficulty, I think, personally, with communications. And sometimes, you know, Mars does things quickly without too much thought or, you know, is in argument mode. And so we may have seen a lot of that with Mars in Libra. It is the opposite sign to Aries. So it's not really Mars' comfy place, and yet he has been dealing with certain features, such as the full moon last time, sort of adding some fire to the fuel, or fuel to the fire, I guess is what I was really wanting to say. When Mars goes into Scorpio, it is one of the signs of its rulership, because before they had discovered the planet Pluto and Uranus and Neptune, they were sort of doubling down on a few different signs, and Scorpio was one of them, Mars with Libra and Mars with Scorpio. Now, it's, you know, kind of an interesting idea, because you do still have the fire planet in a water sign, which is not really the easiest for Mars either. The functioning of Mars in Scorpio is going to be a lot less direct than it has been even in the air sign, Libra, and of course far less direct than in Aries, because Mars is going to be acting a lot behind the scenes when it's in Scorpio, because it is about engaging in a way that will manipulate things to be the way the Mars energy needs it to be to feel safe and in control. All right, so this is, again, the sign that has three levels. And the scorpion level, instantly reactive to any kind of a threat, which is the darker side of the Scorpio energy. And then there's the eagle energy, which is the one that is far-seeing and is able to plot and plan and manage things. And this is probably one of the best places for Mars to be, hopefully, rather than in the, you know, that darker mode where it could be acting with a lot of intent to harm. Then if it can get to the dove level of Scorpio, it's going to be trying to move things forward in terms of healing, and in a large level healing, not just a personal healing, but healing for others. Orchestrating things to be such that things would resolve in a healing and healthy way. But Mars isn't, you know, the sign that the planet, rather, that we would think of as being taking enough time really to develop that highest level necessarily. But we will discover that there's going to be a lot of pressure put on people. You know, Mars in Scorpio is like, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse kind of energy. you know, or I know your secret, so this is how we're going to work it. It's really great for producing like murder mysteries, things like that, or discovering the secrets of what really happened during wars in the past, or this or that, what's going on now. You know, it's very powerful in detective energy, you know. So that's kind of like what Mars is kind of fueling. And, you know, it isn't always in Scorpio during Scorpio time. You know, this is a rather an unusual happening. I mean, not completely unusual, but it's not the common thing to have. You know, Mercury might be in Scorpio. Venus might be in Scorpio because they travel near the sun. And Mercury will go into Scorpio in early November. And Venus has already been there, and she's not going back, I say. So at any rate, the Mars energy is adding to the depth of the mystery of the time, you know. And so anyway, that is going to activate Mars, the house that has your Scorpio energy, because Scorpio is in that house, whatever house it is in your birth chart. And so you may be seeing an uptick in activity there. Even if it's not as open in the world activity, it'll still be going on. And it can also be a time when we're fighting over things like taxes or insurance or inheritance or loans, you know, like we have maybe arguments going on around those kinds of things. And also sexuality. This is where you can get a very serious issue coming up with jealousy and control over somebody who's a significant partner. So, yes, we'll see. We will see how it all rolls out, won't we? And let me just see if it's still in Scorpio when we have our November energy eclipsing here. The lunar eclipse on the 19th. Let's see. Mars, where are you? Yep, it's in Scorpio. So that's going to add some Mars in Scorpio to lunar eclipse, which is the 27 Taurus to 27 Scorpio Sun lunar eclipse. Yeah. So yes, we will be getting the feeling and the energy of this planetary shift as we come into the weekend with Halloween. During the week, Monday starts out pretty good day. You have good conversational energies, and that is in the early morning, ending around 10:30 in the morning, Eastern time. Void, of course, moon in the sign of Gemini. This is a waning third quarter moon. This is like after our full moon, we are having this disseminating phase where we're giving out. So here in Gemini, it's giving out information. And that goes on until the moon enters Cancer at 5 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. And the moon goes into the harmony of the lights until 11 o'clock-ish at night in Eastern time. So that'll be in the feelings mode of Cancer and Sun in Scorpio. So this is really powerful for people in relationship and also in dealings about security, particularly financial security. A positive flow is happening there. And a positive flow to a certain extent also comes in Tuesday, until about 7:30-ish, a little bit after that, in the Eastern time zone. This moon in Cancer that is very concerned with, again, the emotional security and the nurturing aspects is coming into contact with some new ideas and looking at some of the changes that have taken place, but finding things that are working and helpful. So it's a kind of an okay day, You know, Uranus won't go direct until January, so that's the last one to go forward. But one of the things that does happen on Tuesday is that Venus is going to square Neptune. It'll come in exact at 9:06 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. So we can be in a very idealistic mode that day. So we may have to really take some time to see through the clouds and get to the real truth of things. We are also moving into, in that later evening Eastern time and until, you know, probably around 1 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, a time where the feelings and the intellect are not in sync. Maybe even within our own self, there's a lot of questioning, and the feelings are being disturbed by that. It's not a good time to be in communications, important communications. So that's that whole evening, and especially while that Venus square Neptune is in until 9:06 p.m. Eastern. We have a better morning to look forward to Wednesday until about 11 a.m. Eastern. A lot of psychic information, a lot of understanding and compassion information and feelings at that point in time. But Wednesday, is going to be rather a difficult day after that. I don't go for your authority to see if they're going to care about your feelings, because right now they won't. There can be a lot of argument energy coming up in relationships and how things should be done. It's a difficult, difficult day. You'll just have to breathe your way through Wednesday and Wednesday evening and try not to engage, try not to let your feeling nature get out of control, and try not to be as reactive to these people who are not focused on anything other than their own thoughts or their own outer world circumstances. That's what's going on there. The moon will enter Leo, and that will be on Thursday at 5:07 a.m. Eastern. We have a very upbeat Venus has come off her square, and she's sextile Jupiter in Aquarius until around a little after 3 in the afternoon Eastern time. So a lot of humor and desire for adventure and fun. And, of course, Moon in Leo loves entertainment, you know. But the Moon is going to square the Sun in Scorpio until 4:05 p.m. in the Eastern zone, bringing us to the fourth quarter phase, which is how we know we're getting to the week before the new moon, right? And that fourth quarter phase where we're going to start to reevaluate, look for authenticity, take a look at what we want to let go of and what we want to keep nurturing as we move through this last week before the new moon. After this, we have a moon in challenge. Of course, the fixed sign moons have to deal with Saturn and Uranus, and that's where Moon in Leo is going next. So the moon can be extremely frustrated because, you know, the desire for attention and affection and doing things on a grand scale isn't going to be really supported at all on Thursday. And that is, until just before sunrise on Friday in the Eastern time zone. It's going to be a time overnight where there's some changes coming in that won't suit Leo at all. And definite discord over finance has been in the picture. But when we get to Friday itself, the 29th, we do get a great day, nice 12 hours until a little bit after 6:30 Eastern in the p.m., and that is where you can have some great interactions with people. You want to make some connections and maybe have some fun also. Try not to go overboard in the later Friday evening. And it's been a rough week maybe for some people, rougher than others. So you may want to go overboard, see if you can keep some control over that. But there are discrepancies in the evening hours and into just into the early morning of Saturday between, you know, what you may want for the future and what somebody else thinks is a great idea. Very different values are here again as we get into that later part of Friday and into the early wee hours of Saturday the 30th. So we miss out on the beautiful Moon in Leo trine Venus in Sag if we're sleeping before midnight out in the Pacific. That comes in just 3:05 a.m. for us in the Eastern Coast, and it's just been a short period and probably just happy dreams. Also happening, Sun in Scorpio square Saturn, that comes in exact on Saturday morning at 5:53 a.m. So we may wake up with a little bit of a downer feeling, with a void, of course, Moon in Leo, who hasn't really had a lot of good times in their transit. Oh, no. But we're a void, of course, so Leo can maybe have a little bit more, maybe relaxing feeling because, you know, this the lioness likes to sit in the sun and soak up some relaxing time before they have to go search for the next meal, right? But as we're waiting for the moon to enter Virgo at 2:09 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, the moon is void, of course, as Mars enters Scorpio 10:21 a.m. So we have a shift here. And that's the first thing that Moon in Virgo is going to deal with, a sextile, helpful to the Mars energy in Scorpio. Very brief, not even a half hour's worth of it. But at least, you know, this is a good pairing because Virgo likes to keep things in order and Mars in Scorpio wants to take actions that create control. So they work well together. So that's a very brief window for you to take a look at that until about 2:30 in the Eastern time zone on Saturday. But we do have also the help of Moon in Virgo in relation to the Sun in Scorpio taking place for the rest of that time frame after the Mars sextile, all the way into about 5 a.m. Eastern on the 31st. So here you can, you know, make some progress if you need to discuss with a partner, you know, what we should be doing about whatever, health, work, you know, money, shared resources, different kinds of intensity, feelings in relationship can work out pretty well. And on Sunday, the day of Halloween, the moon in Virgo is also relating well to Uranus and Taurus until 1:33 p.m. Eastern. So we're having some upbeat for the ending of that time period, but the moon will move on from this energy that is the ability to look at new ideas and new attitudes, maybe go to a different place for lunch and enjoy it. The moon is going to go into the opposition for the Halloween evening to Neptune. So be aware, there's a lot of, that's negative stuff, you know, out there. That's toxic stuff to come into contact with. If you were planning to have a big party kind of thing, it's not really ideal. You will want a party because the Mercury is trine Jupiter. So you're feeling really full of it, you know, and happy and, you know, let's play and, yeah. And there's humor and all of that. And it's unfortunate that the moon is heading towards a Neptune opposition for all of that time, until 3:05 a.m. on Monday, the 1st of November. So just be aware of this. This is the way the week is flowing. And so we do have a few days for you to take advantage of and some to be more aware of and be more cautious. And, you know, when we get into the week beginning Monday, the first day of November, we will be looking at the new moon in Scorpio coming in on Thursday. And there will be the Venus shift into Capricorn and the Mercury shift into Scorpio. So there's lots to talk about next week. And so the last thing I want to discuss with you is something that many of you have heard me say many, many times. Very interesting that we are not at all aware of the fact that this is a cross-quarter holiday that is equal distance between the equinox and the solstice. So to be precise with that, you would be looking for the 15th degree of the sun in Scorpio for that holiday to really. And I was listening to something, it was very fascinating, where they were talking about the fact that in the time of the agricultural calendar, and by the way, the 15th degree of Scorpio will come in on the 7th of November this year. That would be the real cross quarter, but these cultures would celebrate this not just on one day. They would have a sort of a range, which also makes tremendous sense because they were looking at constellations in this particular case of the Pleiades setting at the time the sun was rising kind of thing, or, you know, they would be having, you know, not a precise way of counting the degrees. They would be looking at shadows forming on stone, you know, from stones or on certain objects. So it was a little bit more of a spread to begin with. But, you know, we, with the Gregorian calendar, we make it the first day of November, you know, like in that. And that was supported by the Catholic Church coming in and calling it All Saints Day or All Souls Day, you know, All Saints Day on the 1st of November. Well, the whole thing was, this is the end. You have had now your last harvest, which was the grapes and the hops. So this was a time that it's over. See, that's the end. And yet there's the new beginning of the agricultural year, but it's starting underground. And this was what these cultures considered to be the beginning of winter. And so this was how they saw it this way. And it was, and many of them saw this as the new year actually beginning. Just like many cultures, including our Celtic forebears, thought that the beginning of the new day was when the sun went down. And they reckoned, you know, life is created in the womb, right, before it comes out in birth. So the beginning of life was hidden. It was, you know, relatively clear to them that things were taking place even though you couldn't see them, right? And that's so like Scorpio itself, isn't it? But this is not the way we look at life anymore. We have our reasons that I don't know if we really did or how we got to that reason of January 1st and having calendars that look, you know, Pope Gregory's ideas. I don't pretend to know what was in his mind when he decided upon this calendar. But it wasn't connected to the sky and it wasn't connected to nature. So this is the thing. This season was the season where you had your livestock growing and thriving and everything, and you were going to start sacrificing some of those animals so that you could preserve meat, because you were going to have to go through a winter and you were going to need all the food you could have. So this was, we just had what was called the hunter's moon and the blood moon sometimes, not because it was an eclipse, that full moon we had in Aries, but because they were doing this. they were culling those herds so that they could have food. Right, so very important time, and also the time when the darkest of the dark, days, nights, really, is coming in, because it's between this time and the solstice. This is the darkest of the dark time. So this is the inner focus. This is where we also have the veil coming thin between this world and the other world, specific into our history. So we're looking backwards. We're going to the ancestors. So there was veneration in many cultures. I mean, the Japanese also are at this time period doing this type of ceremony for ancestors. And so the Celts did as well. They honored the ancestors. We remember. It's a time of remembrance, as it also becomes a time of releasing. Very profound and powerful. It's when we can really take a look at what we want to let go of. For the rest of this year, we're going to be in that mode till we come to planting our seeds after the solstice takes place. So, Samhain, or Nos Calangais, which means the calendar of winter, the time of winter in Welsh. And I believe that the word Samhain had something to do with that also. Hallow's Eve was what Halloween became. And of course, we don't celebrate that in a way of remembrance. We are just having a party. So anyway, there are so many things we forgot, and whether you want to remember them or not is up to you. But I think that ceremonies that are done during the time are very powerful, and so if you need to do prayers or this or that. But my Native American teacher said to avoid doing any kind of divination or psychic work on the Hallows' Eve, and so you may look at that in terms of both what we're looking at is Halloween, or even perhaps the evening before the 7th of November, where you have the actual crossing of the quarters, the exact midpoint between the equinox and the winter solstice. So I will leave you with that, and hope you have a good experience navigating the week, and I'll say goodbye for now.